Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. I'm Lee Robertus in the news tonight. Supporters and opponents of the John Wayne Trail discuss the future of the eastern part of the 250-mile-long path at a meeting in Rosalia. Trails and Paths also discussed at the Pullman City Council meeting last night. And Pullman Council passes moratorium on new pot businesses. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robertus, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. About 80 supporters and opponents of the eastern portion of the statewide John Wayne Trail met at a public meeting in Rosalia yesterday to discuss the lack of maintenance and Republican District 9 Representative Joe Schmick's attempt to close the trail. The Lewiston Tribune reported supporters of the eastern portion of the 250-mile-long trail outnumbered opponents 2-1 at the meeting. However, both sides were frustrated. The State Parks Department has spent little on maintaining the part of the trail east of the Columbia River in the 34 years since it acquired the right-of-way. The Tribune quoted Eastern Washington University finance professor Dean Kiefer saying horse riders, hikers, and cyclists who use the trail support restaurants and other small-town businesses that cater to travelers. Kiefer said, trails like this provide wonderful economic opportunities for small towns. It has to work for everyone. There needs to be fencing and effective trailheads that keep out unauthorized vehicles. John Wayne Pioneer Wagons and Riders Association, Dar Brady, said, I've ridden a horse across the state 4 times. This is the only trail in the country you can do that on. We're nationally recognized. I'm so proud our state has this trail. Brady said 160 people from around the country attended the annual trail ride put on by the Wagons and Riders Association this year. The trail runs through rancher Jay Allert's property. Allert said the state's 34-year history of neglectful ownership proves the point. It has no business owning this right-of-way. The railroad acquired the right-of-way for the purpose of commerce, not to provide access to private property. Allert said the only solution is to return the right-of-way to adjacent landowners. The Daily News quoted Adams County rancher Brandon Spencer, who has property with the trail running through it, say he only wants the portion of the trail east of Lind closed. Spencer said, we are talking a very small portion of the trail in a very desolate area in farming communities. We don't need any more trespassers and we don't need any more trouble. Adjacent landowners said remote sections of the trail attracts crime, littering, weeds, and even marijuana growers. Contradicting earlier reports on the issue, Representative Schmick, who lives in Colfax, said his amendment to the state's capital budget bill this summer would have allowed the state to continue to own the right-of-way, quote, but it would be frozen until there was money to develop the trail. Republican State Senator Mark Schessler of Ritzville, who is Senate Majority Leader, said at the meeting the Parks Department has never asked for money to work on fences or weeds on the trail. The Daily News quoted Schessler saying, we have some serious concern with Parks as the administrator of this property and the steward of it. They have been pretty well missing in action through this. Whether you're a landowner and your property rights have been taken advantage of, or a recreational user. Parks Department Communications Director Virginia Painter told the Tribune, part of the problem is lawmakers have made deep cuts in the department's budget in recent years. Painter said, we've tried to raise more revenue through fees. Maintenance has suffered throughout the entire parks system. Tico Trail and Trestle Association President Ted Blasek said Western Washington lawmakers have been able to get state money to maintain the western part of the trail, some of which is paved, Blasek said. All we're asking is that a little portion of what goes to Western Washington be spent on the east. During last night's Pullman City Council meeting, Councilmember Eileen McCall and Mayor Glenn Johnson told District 9 legislators about the importance of developing recreation trails in the region. City officials spoke especially of the need to keep the John Wayne Trail and the route for a possible future railbed path between Colfax and Pullman in public hands. In this clip, Republican State Senator and Senate Majority Leader Mark Schessler of Ritzville spoke with Mayor Glenn Johnson about both trail routes, starting with the John Wayne Trail.
Well, we're going through a process. We had a nice meeting today. We sat 3.5 hours of comments. We'll have two more of those listening sessions. Also, the Parks Department is going through a formalized process that they're just finishing on their plan to how they go through that, and they will go through a similar, probably a little bit broader process than what we're doing right now. But we'll have a good idea, I think, of what people think.
Funding is still a possibility in terms of trying to maintain it?
It's going to be a challenge. I'm not going to kid you. With the other things that the state's got to look at right now, we talked about school funding. We talked about the classroom initiative. We talked about mental health. There's a lot of things on our plate right now. And we'll just kind of have to see how this plays out and take a look at it. So make a best decision we can.
I think one of the biggest concerns around here when we're even talking about the Pullman to Colfax Trail is that we may not have funding right now to take care of it, but we want to make sure it's preserved for future generations, because that can be a great path. And we'll try and figure out a funding source sometime later, but those are some of the things that you get into, especially with the railroad.
I would say that there's a strong consensus that preserving it for future use is important. We don't know where fiber optic's going to go someday, gas or other utilities. What might work or what, so maintaining that bank is a pretty wise decision for future generations. But the quantity of use is close to population centers. You stay relatively close to a community, there's quite a bit of activity. Cheney Fish Lake, Chipman Taylor, good examples. One of the gentlemen that spoke today, it's 25 miles one way, 25 miles the other way. Not a lot of activity. Francis has had scout troops out there, but that's not the norm. So Parks Department has somewhere around a $70 million backlog in maintenance and preservation. So expecting a turnaround anytime soon is a bit of a stretch.
As long as it doesn't disappear, as long as it does not disappear.
I think Councilwoman Eileen, but I don't think that's really likely to happen, that keeping that ability to use those right-of-ways for the future, I think, are widely recognized. What can we afford? When can we afford it? That's all a debate, just like policies of the council.
That was State Senator and Senate Budget Committee head Mark Schessler of Ritzville speaking with Mayor Glenn Johnson and Pullman City Councilmember Eileen McCall during last night's Pullman City Council meeting. Schessler also told the Pullman City Council last night school districts around the state will have to hire 5,000 new teachers each year due to last year's voter-approved initiative requiring smaller class sizes in grades K through 12. Schessler told the council Washington now only graduates 1,000 new teachers per year. Schessler implied school districts will likely hire substandard teachers to fill the positions, people, as he said, that have a pulse. He said you probably don't want them teaching your children. The Pullman City Council last night enacted a six-month moratorium on new cannabis businesses in the city to give city staff and the Planning Commission time to study the Cannabis Patient Protection Act and other new state laws relating to cannabis businesses. The Cannabis Patient Protection Act, signed by Governor Jay Inslee this summer, attempts to merge the recreational and medical marijuana distribution systems, in part by ending the geographic limits on the number of cannabis businesses. The Washington Liquor and Cannabis Control Board had previously limited the number of cannabis retail outlets in Pullman to a maximum of three, but has since lifted those kinds of limits statewide. Pullman City Attorney Laura McAloon explained how the moratorium would work.
With the passage of the act during the last legislative session, the largely unregulated medical marijuana system is now being merged with the very comprehensive recreational marijuana regulatory framework. This will require licensed marijuana retailers to obtain a medical marijuana endorsement to sell medical marijuana to qualifying patients and to designated providers. In addition, it could also impose additional restrictions on marijuana manufacturers and producers and research institutions. To accommodate this need, the Act requires the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board, or the LCB, to increase the number of retail outlets in the state. And as a result, the LCB recently announced that it would start accepting applications for additional marijuana retail store licenses and for the medical marijuana endorsement, with no limit on the number of such licenses that could be issued in any city or county. Pullman was originally authorized for three marijuana retail stores, with two such stores currently operating on Bishop Boulevard and one more proposed for the same general location. With the recent LCB announcement, the Planning Department is now receiving calls inquiring about locating additional marijuana outlets in Pullman. It's also likely that the city's current regulations will need to be revised to comply with the substantial changes set in motion by the Act and by other 2015 marijuana legislation. At the October 27 council meeting, council was asked if, in light of the evolving regulations concerning marijuana, it would like to consider a six-month moratorium on the establishment of additional marijuana stores in Pullman to allow staff to assess the effects of the Act and the resulting regulation changes by the LCB and to prepare appropriate proposed code revisions for council consideration. An ordinance providing for that six-month moratorium is attached for your consideration. If passed, the moratorium would not affect the two existing marijuana retail stores or any other licensed marijuana business within city limits. It also wouldn't affect the third one that we've received an application for, because staff have determined that that application has vested.
That was Pullman City Attorney Laura McAloon. The City Council will hold a public hearing on the new six-month moratorium it passed last night at their next meeting, Tuesday, November 17th. Next Tuesday night meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. You're tuned in to more the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Lewiston City Council members meeting in executive session last night decided to invite county leaders and their attorneys to meet with the Lewiston Urban Renewal Agency and their attorneys to try to come to an out-of-court settlement to the county's lawsuit. Nez Perce County has sued the city and its urban renewal agency last year, saying they improperly revised the urban renewal agency's plan, taking several $100,000 in tax money away from the county. Under Idaho's urban renewal law, tax revenue from any increase in value of property within an urban renewal district is designated for the urban renewal agency to pay for infrastructure within the district. The Andrew W. Mellon Foundation has given Washington State University a $69,500 grant to support planning of a shared online platform for the curation, management, and preservation of the Native American Library and Archive collections. The grant will cover planning activities through 2016. It will be the first grant awarded to WSU's new Center for Digital Scholarship and Curation, which the WSU College of Arts and Sciences and the WSU Libraries formed last year. Pullman police arrested a 17-year-old girl and a 27-year-old woman for shoplifting at Walmart Monday. When officers responded, they found the duo had allegedly wheeled a shopping cart filled with over $500 worth of merchandise out of the front door before being confronted by store employees. The merchandise included Christmas lights, blenders, DVDs, speakers, totes, and other things. Prosecutors will charge the adult with third-degree theft, and they plan on forwarding theft charges to youth services for the 17-year-old. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Looks like partly cloudy tonight, low 27 degrees, west winds 10 to 15, becoming light and variable after midnight, gusts up to 20. Partly sunny tomorrow, high 41, 30% chance of rain after 10 p.m. Thursday night, cloudy, low 36. 70% chance of rain Friday, mainly between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., cloudy, high 47. South winds 15, gusts up to 20. 80% chance of rain mainly after 10 p.m. Friday night, low 41. South winds 15, gusting to 20. And 100% chance of rain Saturday, high 47. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies, 39 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Between the Lines, a weekly news magazine, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 7:30. Or rather at 6:30, and then at 7:30, This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian News Magazine, also from Pacifica. At 8 o'clock, music begins with Land of Jazz with Alan Solon, Grateful Dead Through the Decades at 9:30, and Bob Slacktime Funhouse at 11. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Scott Jackson assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good evening. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available online shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.